This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today. More alleged child sex predators are facing charges in Wisconsin. A recent internet sting targeted six Wisconsin counties in a four-day period and produced 16 arrests. The effort follows a nationwide FBI sting this summer that recovered 10 child sex trafficking victims in Milwaukee. The FBI estimates hundreds of thousands of U.S. children are at risk of sexual exploitation. The Bureau says most adult prostitutes started as minors and that sex trafficking occurs in almost every community. Still, the world of child prostitution is a secretive one. Lake Effect's Amy Kiley learned more about it through the doorway of Milwaukee, which law enforcement officials say is a known sex trafficking hub. Just a warning, this story may disturb some listeners.
Assistant U.S. Attorney Joseph Wall says all roads of sex trafficking lead to Milwaukee.
A very disproportionate number of pimps in other states and prostituted women in other states come from Milwaukee.
Wall prosecutes pimps in Wisconsin and cites factors he believes are behind the city's exportation of sex workers. Census data indicates about 40% of Milwaukee children live in poverty. It also suggests the city is the nation's most segregated, with the lowest rate of black marriage. Wall says that makes Milwaukee a sex trafficking hub for both adults and children. It also makes Milwaukee a good starting point to examine the misconception that prostitution is a victimless crime. Laura Johnson says she knows the truth. Her pimp lured her off her mother's Milwaukee porch when she was 14 years old.
He used to always ride past, so it was like a familiar face. And I used to wave, and he used to wave, and then one day he stopped. And the day that he stopped, my childhood was like just gone. I felt like that he can take me away. I was always looking for escape.
Johnson, now 28, won't clarify what she was escaping because she doesn't want to hurt her family. But she spent her childhood in and out of foster homes. Since child sex trafficking is secretive, researchers have trouble estimating how many minors grew up like Johnson. The Polaris Project, an advocacy group, suggests at least 100,000 child sex trafficking victims are currently in the U.S. The FBI indicates another 200,000 are at risk of sexual exploitation. Estimates that include adult prostitutes push the low millions, and the FBI indicates most older sex workers began between the ages of 11 and 14. Some come from well-off families in the suburbs. Others are like Johnson, living in poverty without a father figure at home. Johnson thinks her story reflects how pimps convince some children to sell their bodies.
He was taking me, like, out to eat, picking me up and dropping me off at my aunt's and my house. He was, like, my transportation, like, get me away from there. So I looked up to him. I admired him. I loved him.
After that, Johnson's pimp persuaded her to travel with him. He took her to Chicago to get a fake ID and introduced her to his other victims. Johnson thinks the youngest started at about age 11. After a while, Johnson began dancing at clubs. Eventually, her pimp numbed her with drugs, alcohol, and a false sense of family. Then, he sold her 14-year-old body for sex.
I was ashamed. I was scared. I felt nasty.
She says for a while, she did like pretending to be someone else. Her pimp would buy her new clothes and shoes with some of the money she earned him. She says the men who hired her included teachers and police officers, and that many liked her undeveloped body. The group moved from city to city to stay ahead of the police, but the work was dangerous.
You just living for that moment. You're not living like to like plan your life. Because I don't know, after I get up from off my back, I don't know what's going to happen to me after that. He might try to shoot me.
In the end, the most dangerous man Johnson encountered was her own pimp. Between dancing, sex, and stealing, she earned him about $3,000 to $4,000 a day. But it wasn't always enough. Johnson describes the night she left the man she says she loved.
I mean, it was like, if I don't have my money, then I'm going to kill you. And he beat me up. He used to slap me and kick me or push me. But how he was just hitting me, punching me, and punching me, and punching me, and punching me, pulling my hair, kicking me over and over and over and over and over. And I knew if I would have stayed in that room, I was going to die.
After her pimp and the other girls fell asleep, drunk and high, Johnson snuck out. A man offered her a ride to the bus stop and money for a ticket in exchange for oral sex. By the time Johnson returned to her Milwaukee family, she was 17. Just as Johnson points out, prostitution is not a victimless crime. Law enforcement agencies are realizing another reality. Almost all prostitutes have pimps. Edgar Rock Williams used to be one of them. He was a 16-year-old gang member in Virginia when his cousin taught him how to choose girls with no father figures and manipulate them into sex trafficking. Once recruited, he says, the gang would give girls alcohol and drugs.
We pumping you up, and we getting your conscience numb to what the hell you're about to go do. Excuse my language. Because I don't need your conscience kicking in while you're in there laying on your back having sex for, you know, $150. I can't have that.
Rock says another way to soften up girls is to let everyone in the gang have sex with them. The exceptions are the dimes, the younger, prettier girls.
Can't really just let everybody have sex with her because she gonna get used up and all them got an expiration date on it. And, you know, once the breasts go to sagging and things just not as intact as they were at first, you can't get $200 or $150 off of her.
For a gang, Rock says, pimping is a source of income and payment. When police confiscate drugs owed to a neighboring gang, sending over girls for sex could pay off the debt cheaply. Gang-based pimping is also more elaborate. Rock says scouts recruit the girls, drivers deliver them, and the muscle beats up clients who don't pay enough. This often occurs in front of new girls to incite fear. Rock says he preferred manipulation over violence, but he explains what other pimps or muscle might do to a 15-year-old girl who gets scared.
She don't feel like she want to have sex with this guy, or she don't feel like she want to partake in whatever he asks for. And I got the guy standing here, and now you're costing me money. Unfortunately, a lot of those type of people turn violent, make her act right, slapping or choking her or threatening her.
Rock says he wasn't one of those type of people, but sometimes girls he pimped needed a lesson from the muscle, too.
You know, just grab them by the back of the head and, you know, squeeze. You can't see bruises that way. I've seen the muscle plenty of time pull knives on females, take guns out on the table, and ask her to, you know, reconsider her thoughts.
In recent years, law enforcement has switched the focus from prostitutes to pimps. But the other people involved are the clients, commonly called Johns.
And even though they don't have horns and pitchforks, and even though a lot of them, other than that thing they do of buying sex, seem to operate with normal lives, they are the people that are fueling the entire business.
That's criminologist Dr. Michael Shively. He's published multiple studies on people who buy sex for the research group Apt Associates. The National Institute on Justice and the Department of Justice are among the funders of his work. He says his research and that of others show about 15% of men nationwide have purchased sex. He cites a study from the Shapiro Group in Atlanta in which about 4% of would-be Johns asked for an adolescent prostitute, but about 42% accepted one when offered.
It's not everyone by any means, but it's certainly not like just a tiny percentage of freaks or pedophiles or some fringe experience. It's, you know, more common than left-handedness.
So, Johns are the biggest piece of the puzzle both economically and numerically. And they often suffer the fewest repercussions because, Shively says, people tend to think prostitutes are consenting adults. But, Shively adds, shame is a major deterrent for them. For this radio story, not a single John was willing to speak on the record. Now, here's how the story ends for the people involved.
A real story is impossible without a victim or a survivor, because I'm a survivor. I didn't stay in it. I didn't, like, die or I didn't get killed. So I'm a true survivor.
Prostitutes are disproportionate victims of murder. One mortality study suggests their homicide rate is 204 out of 100,000. Serial killers sometimes target them. Many prostitutes who live to escape their pimps or gangs succumb to drug addiction.
You don't want to give them nothing off, man, because then they become crack whore. And once you do that, you just decrease the value of that product.
Even if the girls survive death and drugs, Rock says, they'll forever bear the stigma of their former life. He says men especially don't want to associate with those people. When Johnson left her pimp, she did begin selling her body for drugs. Then she found out she was pregnant. She prayed to God for help and went to MetaHouse, the only nonprofit for drug addicts she found that let her keep her baby. Now she's in a stable relationship, has another child on the way, and says she's raising her boys to respect women. Given that the average life expectancy for a prostitute is 34 years old, Johnson's outcome is rare. As for pimps, Attorney Wall says judges are starting to understand the truth about sex trafficking.
Prostitution is the second oldest profession. Pimping is the oldest profession in the world because that prostitute almost always has a pimp behind her.
Wall says most pimps exploit minors, and that brings 15 years to life in prison. He says prosecutors go easier on prostitutes to avoid victim blaming. The legal system tries to offer them drug rehabilitation, but its effectiveness is questionable. Wall says Johns convicted of going after minors get at least a decade in prison. He says legally, sex with a child is sexual assault. In colloquial terms, it's rape. Shively's research into Johns shows education can help. He says among graduates of a so-called John school he studied, repeat offenses went down about 40%. Finally, Rock agrees society needs to change its thinking about prostitution. He says he's never been convicted of pimping because his conscience prompted him to leave the trade. He now advocates for sex trafficking victims by telling his story.
Anything that we can do, we owe him that much to get out here and put a stop to the sexual predator.
For Lake Effect, I'm Amy Kiley.
At WUWM.com/lakeeffect, you can find links to resources and organizations working to combat child sex trafficking crimes. We'll have more of Lake Effect after a break on Milwaukee Public Radio.